Hi, I'm Tanya June Moore, and I have the distinct pleasure of being here with author Sophia Satiana, who wrote this really compelling true story of her life called My Perfect Husband's Life. And she's been interviewed before and has talked about the first part of the book and the story. And I do want to ask you, can you just give a brief synopsis to the audience of what the story is about?
Sure, I would be happy to, Tanya. The story is about my husband's sudden death at age 56, and which is a shock in and of itself. And then almost immediately, within 48 hours afterwards, someone from his work emailed me, and I started to realize that he was leading a secret life, which I did not know to the extent of at that time. But as time played out, it revealed itself in many different ways, well over a year after his death.
And to get a little bit into the meat of the story, I mean, you were married for 21 years, and he was literally what everyone, including your family, work associates, friends, considered this perfect human being, and that he treated you so well. And you believe that too.
Yes.
And he did treat you well.
Yes, he did.
But after his death, and you were not even at home, you were across the country, correct?
Yes.
When you got back home, you found that he'd had an affair. You weren't even on any of the bank accounts. You weren't on the house title.
Yes.
And all of those things you thought that you signed the papers to be on.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then you found out he was having an affair and he had the sexual addiction. All of this culminated into more of a nightmare.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's the story in a nutshell, folks, is this person. And as I read the book, at first I was like, how does she not see this? There were some telltale signs. But then after reading the book and then going through the healing process, the second part of the book that you wrote, I totally understood. You made a vow to someone that, and you believed in that.
Yes.
And I believe as a society, we are taught that you trust the person that you marry.
Yes.
So it's 2 years later.
Yes.
And you've completed this healing part of the book because you feel that it's very important that other people get healing from this, from your experiences. So the second part, I mean, you went through the whole grieving and everybody goes through that, but the second part really deals with some spiritual, intuitive, some people might even say woo-woo, but honestly, they're not. They're very real things. Can you talk about how you got to this healing point? Like, what brought you there to realize that you could see this big picture? What got you? What was the most profound thing that you found out?
Well, first, I would just like to say that I have a spiritual background. It's what I teach. It's what I do. So looking at the big picture, I could not help but come from a spiritual background with it. So that being said, if I had not had that, I don't know how the healing process would have gone, because it was touch and go even with that. So about a year and a half after his death, I started more looking at the bigger picture and the spiritual connection of here, knowing that, okay, this is more than just me being a victim. This is more than just him betraying me. This is more than just he did me wrong. Much, much, much more than that. It was very complicated because of all the things that I found out, I realized he was really a different person than what I thought he was. And the biggest thing you asked that I found out, I would say, I would have to say it's the karmic connection, which is not just a past life, but it's several different past lives that him and I had together. And I knew we had a connection instantly because the first time I saw him, it was like I knew him. And so that's why it would be hard for me to not believe in past lives, because it's like, well, where did that come from then? Sometimes you just have a feeling of you either like somebody or you don't like somebody. Well, it's because you've known them in a previous life and you know their energy. And I immediately felt a connection with him. And I asked him too, you know, not right then, but, you know, when we were dating, I said, did you feel something when we first met? And he said, yes, of course. So I know we both felt it. And it's that energetic connection of, okay, I know this energy. I'm familiar with this energy. Plus, we were born 6 days apart, the same month, the same year, in the same city, in the same state, in the same hospital. So as my mother was leaving the hospital with me, his mother was coming in to deliver him. That's not a coincidence. I mean, this was all set up. And it was set up for my soul to be able to clear this karmically with him in this lifetime. Excuse me. And unfortunately, it needed to happen to this degree for it to totally be cleared and in this way. I mean, I believe it happened how it happened and that it was supposed to happen that way.
And you do an entire chapter on karma, and I think people really just have a surface understanding of what karma is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe it's kind of, you know, if you put good things out, good things come back. If you're mean to someone, you know, something is going to happen bad down to you, you know, to you down the road. But really, karma is much deeper than that. It affects us on a cellular level from lifetimes ago. Can you go into a little bit of what you discovered about karma and your karma with this human at this time?
Sure. Well, for one thing, and this I had known from my previous spiritual studies and past lives and with different modalities that I do, that we create obligations, we create vows, promises, oaths. For instance, a marriage, I mean, you're blessed, right? When you get married, you have a blessing. So all these things are very important and they tie you to that person. So we had contracts from previous lives. We had promises from previous lives. And those all came into this life's existence. Plus, we created new ones in this life, the contract that we had in this life. So I can't cite one specific thing or incident. Again, it's looking at the whole big picture of that. If I were to just heal this life in the anger and the resentment or whatever, then yes, I would have kind of healed it, but I wouldn't have healed the big picture in the whole thing. I needed to go back and heal this level of betrayal that had taken on many, many, many lifetimes from us and go back to the very first life. And I needed to get help with that. And so I dealt with different spiritual counselors and coaches that helped me through this to really uncover where this all started and to see how it played out, and that it's not just one person. I mean, I call it a dance. You know, we did this dance many different lifetimes, my husband and I, and this life was the culmination of it. And for me, the end of it, to heal this so that I don't have to play this dance again. And I don't have to deal with betrayal again. I want to be completely over that.
And one of my favorite chapters in the second part of this book is where you talk about the healing layers. And this really hit home for me because it was something that I've never really thought about, how so many of us heal on the surface, but we don't get deep down. And can you talk a little bit about the healing layers and what that chapter is about?
Sure. I kind of just alluded to it just before here in what I said, in that there can be different karmic layers, but then there can also be different layers, such as the physical layer, the emotional layer, the mental layer, the spiritual layer. And in that first year, I was dealing and under so much shock and trauma that I couldn't go into layers. and healing. I mean, I just was trying to function from day to day in that first year, basically, because I was still finding things out, I mean, in that first year. So in the second year was when I really started to get into the different layers of the healing, and I dealt with the emotional layer first, and you actually have an emotional energetic body, and that's where all your different emotions are stored. And because that's what was coming up for me, was the different emotions, like the anger, the despair, the sadness, the sorrow, all those things. I could not deal with them because they were consuming me every day. So that's an example of one of the layers, the emotional layer. And then there's a mental layer where I just could not stop thinking about things and the memories. And I thought, how am I ever going to get over this? How am I ever going to stop this? And then there was the spiritual layer where I started to really delve into the bigger picture of why did this happen? How did this happen? Really? There was no other way for this but this? I mean, I had a hard time with that because I thought, could this not have been done in a different way? Could I not have learned this lesson in a different way? Yes, I could have, but my soul chose this. And, you know, I had to accept that. And then there was the physical level. And I'm still healing the physical body. And I must have a strong physical body to be able to go through everything I did, because my nervous system, my adrenals, everything really took a hit with this. But I'm alive, I'm well, and I am now working on my physical body.
Do you feel that the physical is always the last thing to heal?
I can't speak for anybody else. I think there's layers to it. I think there's layers to the physical healing also. And for me, there was so much to do, to heal, to think about, to take care of. It just came last. And now because I've healed all the rest, I can now take the time to give my physical body what it needs.
When you were going through that healing process, did you get big ahas when you healed the spiritual level, when you healed the mental level, when you healed this emotional body? Were there moments of, I did it. Oh my goodness. I feel so much better.
Absolutely. And I worked with a few different spiritual counselors. I call them spiritual counselors. I went to regular therapy too, like a regular psychologist and things. But I needed much more than that. I needed to understand this from a spiritual perspective, I guess, is what I'm saying. And there were many, many aha moments. And each one I thought, oh, this is it. This is it. I'm done. And yet it was like the onion peel. It peeled back a different layer of the onion for me to see what was under that and what was under that. And, you know, one example would be to look at his upbringing in how could somebody do this? How could somebody do this? How did that happen? I looked at his, you know, background, and I was able to find out different things of, well, this is how he could do this. So,
So you have another whole chapter on soul contracts. And there's great stories and proverbs that are told about soul contracts. I mean, it's in every religion. It's in every spirituality. They talk about making that pact to come back to this human form. What do you feel like the spiritual contract was between you and your husband?
I feel that the spiritual contract between my husband and I was to come to this lifetime, to meet up in midlife, because we both had other things to do before that, which we did, and to form a union, which in this case was a marriage, which we did. And I believe our contract was to heal and support each other, which includes all the karma that we have been through too. But for us to heal our souls and support that healing in each other, that's what I believe the contract was. And I believe I fulfilled that. for myself and for partly for him.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Because you're taking on responsibility, not only for yourself and your own well-being, there's some responsibility that you're taking on for your husband as well.
Yes.
And you were soulmates.
Yeah.
You still feel that you were soulmates. And people have this romantic view of what soulmates are.
Yes, they do.
But it's not just about that. Soulmates are, there's a huge breadth and depth to soulmates. You talk about it in your soulmate chapter. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of what soulmates really are?
Well, to put it in a nutshell, I think a soulmate is going to trigger you, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but they're going to bring out the worst and the best in you. And it's not always a happy ending. So your soulmate isn't this ultimate knight in shining armor and your life is going to be a bed of roses. That, in fact, it could be quite the opposite. I mean, my husband and I were soulmates. We did have a wonderful 21 years together, and then it got shattered in an instant. So the ending didn't turn out so well as far as soulmates go. There's 21 years of good stuff. So that's just an example of, yes, we were soulmates. I mean, we definitely were soulmates and had dozens of lifetimes together. But there's more than one soulmate for each person, I believe. And in this, you know, you play out karma together as a soulmate. So you can't bypass the karma part of it.
Right.
So when you start to deal with the karma part of it, then that's where you're going to get the ebbs and the flows, the highs and the lows, and they're going to trigger certain things in you and vice versa.
So soulmates are kind of a piece of growth, a person or, you know, a soul that helps you grow into something new.
And that happened in our marriage.
Talk a little more about that.
Yeah. I believe it happened for both of us. I can't speak for him. I can say what I think happened with him, but I could speak for myself in that despite what he was doing, I grew in that marriage. My self-esteem grew. My trust in another person grew. I grew to the point of going into a spiritual career instead of a corporate job. So the foundation was set for me to grow, and I did. And he did fulfill that part. He loved me as much as he was capable of loving somebody. He was the perfect husband. I mean, he did make me feel safe, protected, cared for, provided for, all those things. So he set up the foundation for me to grow, which is exactly what I did in the marriage.
Do you feel that that growth has set you, I mean, you did say it set you on a very spiritual path,
mm-hmm.
and that you're now teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So being in that, was it worth it? I guess is the question. My end question is, was it worth it going through all of this to be where you are today?
I guess I would answer yes to that now. If you would have asked me this a year ago or certainly right after his death, I would have said no. but I've healed enough that I can look at this as actually the phoenix bird rising, which is on the cover of my book, because that's exactly what happened. It was tough. It was the toughest thing I've ever been through and hope to ever be through in this life. But I'm at the point where I can reap the benefits and rewards and gifts from it now and see that now. And yes, it could have been done in a different way, but I chose that. I feel like I kind of double dipped in that I got my own healing, and I think he got some healing from it also. I grew spiritually, and now I have the freedom to start this new life, of which I don't know what that is yet, but I know it's going to be different from the life that I had, and I know I'm a different person than I was when I was in a marriage. So I'm able to see those gifts now.
And you have forgiven him.
Yes.
Even saying that makes my stomach tumble a little bit. I love it on one hand, but then there's this other, you know, part of me that just wants to pummel him, you know?
Yes.
And please tell us why you forgave him. Where you got to in your life where you could say, oh my God, he really did love me. This was just his issue. I mean, how did you get there?
Well, it took a while. It did not happen overnight. And I, your stomach feelings, I felt the whole first year, you know, I mean, and then, I mean, even at one point I thought, why should I forgive him? He doesn't deserve it. Why does he deserve to be forgiven? So I came full circle with this. It wasn't like I just forgave him overnight. It took probably close to almost 2 years for me to forgive him. Why I forgave him was so that I could move on, so that I could move on, so that I could heal, so that we both could be set free. Because the alternative is to not move on, to not heal, and to not be set free. And because I was in that energy for so long, I did not want it anymore. So I was willing to do whatever it took to totally forgive him. And there was different layers to that also.
And you even developed a little bit of sympathy for him. Like, yes. I feel that in the book too. When I'm reading the book, I'm like, oh my God, I almost feel bad and sorry for this man who went through all of these things and had these obstacles in his life. I mean, elaborate on that little sympathy that you had, that you've discovered, I guess, recently for him.
Well, what I think now happened is that once I had healed to the point that I had healed, which again took almost 2 years, it raised my vibration to a different level so that I was able to actually work with and develop some of the virtues like compassion and unconditional love and humility, those types of things further than I ever thought possible. So I would say that's what helped me get to that point, was to heal and to see from a different perspective, why would a person do this? What was involved with this karmically? Oh, well, maybe I had hurt him or betrayed him in another life. I mean, you know, on and on.
And he was sick. I mean, he was mentally ill, we think.
That's my belief.
That's your belief. And in this society today, that has such a stigma attached to it. People with mental illness, even depression, which isn't even a mental illness, people really look down on, like it's horrible that you have to take a pill to feel better or whatever. But yes, there is a certain level of sympathy for someone who is so out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that must be a horrible feeling for him. That must have been a horrible feeling for him to not be in control. I mean, I would think that that would be horrible because he treated you with such respect. Now that you're looking back on it, do you feel that he truly loved you, that has helped you get through this process?
I believe that he did indeed truly care about me. I don't think you could fake that for 21 years. But, I mean, because there were no cracks. I mean, he consistently treated me the way he did, which was good. I mean, we didn't, you know, there was never a demeaning word. There was never I didn't even raise his voice. I mean, in 21 years.
Did that help you? I mean, him truly loving you help you get on the outside?
Yeah. So I got to the point where I could see that he wasn't doing this to me purposely. He wasn't purposely trying to hurt me. He wasn't, in fact, the opposite. I mean, he was purposely trying to have me not find anything out. I mean, and he went to the great lengths for me to not find anything out. Like, he shredded everything, so there was no evidence. And he just, there was never any reason for me to suspect anything. And that's how he wanted it, because he did not want me to find out. I mean, and I truly believe if he would have wanted to love me, he would have left me at some point in the 21 years. And so.
And you were sort of his anchor. You were sort of his sanity, to be honest. You kept him in touch with reality.
Yes. I believe that I did that because I believe that a part of him wanted that family life, that love, that he hadn't known before, and that I provided that for him and that kind of lifestyle for him. And I truly believe that a big part of him did want that. But there was also, with his mental illness, a part of him that wanted the other life too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we're going to do now, because we're going to cut this recording and we're going to start a second recording, because what we're going to get into in the next recording is some pretty deep information that I think needs to be separate from what we've already talked about. It definitely pertains. We're going to talk a little bit about dark energies and how to deal with them, and how, and then we're going to move forward into the Phoenix and the Divine Feminine. So there's some really deep items that we're going to tackle next. So please join us for the next round of questions, and I look forward to talking to you.
Thank you.